This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together,
but human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Lee Galea. All right, so welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, of course, the film that you've created, directed, has, well, is about to have its, is it its premiere this Sunday the 24th?
Premiere.
Great. And that's at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival here in Melbourne.
Yes.
Mm. Excellent. Okay, so Lee, the film is called Monster Pies. Without giving too much away, what can you tell us about the story of this film?
Well, it's about two boys who meet each other through an English class in high school, and they start to make a horror movie adaptation of Romeo and Juliet for a project in school, and then just feelings start to grow, and it goes into a different direction. Their relationship gets stronger and stronger. So yeah, bit of a romance.
Now it's called in the genre that it's in, it's titled as a coming out drama.
Yeah, I guess.
Was that what you were after when you were making the film?
I actually just really wanted to make a love story. So I mean, I think the coming out part is, to me, it's not that strong, but yeah, definitely it's a drama, and but I did want audiences to see it as a love story.
Okay, right. But for Melbourne Queer Film Festival to pick it up, was your aim for it to be queer?
Well, yeah. I mean, I wrote the film when I was 15, and it was always about two boys and falling in love. So it was always meant to be a film for gay people to appreciate. And Melbourne Queer Film Festival, that's the film they want. So, it works hand in hand.
Yeah. I find it, because I've seen it, and I'm not going to spoil it too much for our listeners, but of course it is a very simple type of story, what I thought of it. But that's that simplicity. It also makes it really engaging, and I found that I really enjoyed, you know, the characters too. What can you tell us is about, you've set it in the 90s, I believe. So is this autobiographical?
Yeah,
in a way, or
very semi. Like the main character is loosely based on me and some experiences, but a lot of the experience I was writing about at 15, I hadn't experienced yet. So it was all, and then I grew up and went off and had those experiences, and then were able to write the screenplay, looking back on some of the ups and downs of, being in love. So, that helped.
Yeah.
But we don't say 90s in the film, so it's like, it's kind of just, it is the 90s, but it's we don't kind of spell it out in the film, so it can be any time.
It felt like it could be any time. I mean, I read that it was set in the 90s, and I thought, oh, really? I read that after I'd seen it.
Yeah.
And no, I thought, I could feel that this was any time. High school doesn't really seem to, date, I think, for everybody's experiences are the same.
Except for the fact that no one's walking around looking down at their iPhone.
Yeah, okay, that's probably the only difference. And it's not set in the 80s because of the hairstyle, so that's probably the only... It's not pretty in pink, but that's probably the only thing. That's different. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the making of it? It's extraordinary. I believe this was crowdfunded as well, partly?
Partly crowdfunded. Mostly just fundraising and working and getting investors. And so, it was just a bit of everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Now, the angle that you've taken, the Romeo and Juliet with the horror aspect.
Yeah.
Okay, why did you choose that, the monster side, the Frankenstein's monster and a wolfman? What?
Well, I think because the film is called Monster Pies and the theme of Monster Pies is like just a very small kind of theme that runs through the film. And I wanted to then incorporate more like themes of monsters and horror and yeah, just like I just wanted another layer of a like a monster theme going through it, and so it made sense because we were trying to work out, okay, they've got to do this project together so we can get them to work together, but what's their adaptation going to be? And then I don't know, I just came out, I just thought, well, I had a poster in my room, it had Frankenstein, Wolfman fighting, and I thought, well, yeah, they were always on screen together. So what if they were in love? And that would the conflict between them being in love is that they just wanted to kill each other all the time. Yeah. So, yeah.
These are the Universal movies, yeah.
The old Bride of Frankenstein and all those things. So,
Okay, so because we do some horror on Sci-Fi and Scream, do you have a favourite? I mean,
favourite horror film?
Yeah, favourite horror film.
Oh, God.
That's probably too hard this time in the morning.
I mean, I like things like The Shining, where it's not about, you know, lots of killing and stuff. It's and
more psychological and...
Yeah. I'm actually was inspired to write... I'm writing a horror film at the moment, which I want to do as my next film, but I want to do a, if you can believe it, a even lower budget movie. So and we want to be a bit more experimental because I storyboard everything. I'm pretty regimented on how I shoot, so I wanted to do something that was just a bit more fun for me and a bit more relaxed. Everyone thinks Monster Pies is a horror film anyway, so now that I'm actually... And I keep getting asked, this is a horror, and I'm like, no, it's not. But now that I'm actually... It's going to be fun to say, here's the horror film you've been wanting to see, so... Yeah.
No, I find it interesting because I immediately thought, oh, is this a horror film? And then when I watched, I went, it's partly horror, but it's also has real life sort of horror in it.
Yeah.
Without spoiling too much for the listeners who we really do want to go along and attend this weekend, without spoiling that, because it's like the real life experiences these two boys have who have fallen in love with each other, what their family situations are and, you know, all those external situations, so-called friends at high school. It's pretty nasty. It gets pretty horrific without giving it away. So it is pretty awful what happens to them in their lives, and you can really feel the stark sort of reality of, you know, it's almost like they... In their world that they have together, it's their escapism, but they can be together. You know, when they're filming and you really get a sense of that desire to be removed from the everyday reality of the harshness, especially the more closeted, I guess he is, character. And that's Will, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems a lot more... There's a lot more he's going through.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I think a lot of gay people will be able to relate to just the struggles of having a secret or not being able to share it with family or not being able to express love when, you know. So it's definitely, like, even, like, my sister, who's gay, like, she, even though it's about two boys, she totally connects with the film and is very moved by it. So it's, and it's for everybody. It's even... straight audience members who have had test screenings with have really loved it, and I think everybody at one stage has feelings of love and feelings of heartbreak, and everyone can relate to it. It is a simple story, like you said, and can be everyone can relate to it. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. I could relate to it as well, and I could imagine some of my friends in high school, what they were going through too, because a lot of times we didn't know what we were going through, and we didn't know how to express it. And if you come from a conservative background, it makes it even harder, you know, really hard to be able to do that. So,
I thought this, when I was writing, I thought, you know, if this film could be a bit of a, I don't know, it might be a bit healing for some people going through hard times, and even younger gay people in high school who haven't even come out and are struggling, and I don't know, so I thought it's a nice gift to those people, because I know when I was younger I watched that film, Beautiful Thing, which came out like a year after I wrote Monster Pies, and I was, and it was so inspiring because it was like I could see characters that I could identify with, and it was really comforting, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that was, and I thought that was an amazing film, and I nearly didn't make Monster Pies because they're slightly, you know, they're a little bit similar, but then nothing has really ever come out since then to kind of showing that genre of like young love, and then I thought, well, why not? Like, I think, why can't we have more gay love theme movies out there? You know. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you've done an extraordinary job. When I viewed it, I thought, wow, okay, this is not the usual sort of films that they do play at Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Not for a while, I don't think, because there's some really highly polished queer films now. I'm not saying yours isn't, but it was just refreshing to see, look, this is almost like a homemade, this is like almost a school project. That's what it felt like. Nothing wrong with that, to me, anyway.
Well, it's a little labour of love, and we just wanted, like, we didn't have a budget to be as polished as, you know, other films, but we could, I knew I spent a lot of time on the script so that the story would resonate with all the audiences.
Yeah. So, how long ago has it been since you actually first wrote it?
Well, I wrote the story at 15, so I had like about 15 years to let it just sit in the back of my brain.
Wow. Okay.
And then we started writing. I had produced and directed a feature in 2009, and at the end of the 2009, I had decided I'm going to make this film, and I started writing notes. And even though I had my original story sitting on a bookshelf in my room, I didn't want to look inside it because I wanted to start fresh. And so I started properly writing around the beginning of 2010.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I spent 2010 and 11 just fine-tuning the script until I got to shoot at the end of 2011. But at one stage I did open the book, and there was a few things I was like, it was a little bit darker. It was much darker than what I made, and
okay.
I looked at it. I was like, oh god, I couldn't do that now. But I kind of paid homage to some of the darker themes as opposed to going all the way with it. And it was good. It was good to just skim through it. But I still haven't just sat and read the whole thing. But
Are you satisfied with it? The end product.
I am. I think something magical happens when you watch it. You get drawn in, and I'm such a film buff, so I watch a lot of movies, and sometimes I find it like really hard to get drawn into a movie. And even if I have a test screening, I sit there and I kind of forget that it's my movie, and I'm just interested in the characters, and I just want to watch and see what's going to happen next. So the fact that it has that, you know, that spell over me, I'm like, wow, this film is really something special. So yeah, I'm very happy. Things do change when you from script to screen, but sometimes they change for the better, and you just work with what you get.
So, yeah. No, I think it's really accomplished, and I think congratulations but not just to yourself, Lee, but to your cast. Incredible cast.
Yeah.
Seriously. Tristan Barr, he plays Mike, and it's sort of seen through his eyes, I guess. He's the main protagonist, but then there's the boy that he falls for. They both fall for each other, pretty much. Lucas Linehan, he plays Will. Now, how did you come across these guys?
I found both of them on Star Now. Yeah, and we just screen tested them, and Lucas had come in. We had Tristan really early on, and then Lucas came in towards just maybe 6 months before shooting when we lost our original Will lead. And we had to quickly find a replacement, and I was really nervous, and I thought, oh no, this film might not even get made now. But Lucas came in and just, you know, stole the show and just was amazing, and then started to invest money into the film and became like an executive producer and helped produce the film with me. So it was
that's amazing.
Blessing in disguise. So I don't think I could have made it without him, really, because he's just been such a support, and it's been great.
I must admit, he really stands out.
Yep.
He really does. It's quite spooky to watch his performance. I mean, Tristan is great as well, but there is certainly, he's got some real natural abilities there that seem to be purely not even acting. I don't know what it is he's doing, but it's amazing. Yeah.
Everyone says that I get that comment that he's very natural, but now I even asked him like months after shooting, I said, what did you do, you know? And he just said, he just did it the way he just did it in his own voice and just didn't overdo it. And it was amazing. Like we didn't expect, it was just magic on set. We were like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
But he'd only made one short film before this. So I spent a lot of time just inspiring him, showing him, I showed him Brokeback Mountain just so he would see like Keith Ledger's performance, and I showed him Rebel Without a Cause because I thought, you know, teenager, or, you know, angsty, and showed him my first feature, and just showed him films that could get him in the right direction of where he should be, and he was great.
Yeah, he is a bit like a young Heath Ledger, that's for sure. There's something very Australian about the quality of his performance that's almost underrated or underplayed. I was really stunned, and my housemate was sitting there going, wow, who's this guy? Like, I don't want to go on about him, but it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I get that question. Who is this? Where have I seen him?
Where have we seen him before? But we've seen him before. We've seen him on the tram, a bunch of schoolboys. We've seen him on the train. We've seen him, you know.
Yeah.
We see these kids everywhere because he plays the kid so well.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Stunning. Yeah, excellent. Well, and the rest of the cast are great too. So what happens next after the world premiere on the 24th of March here in Melbourne? What's the news next for it?
Well, we're having a general release on at Acme on the 9th of April and the 18th of April.
Cool.
I just wanted to like give more fans an opportunity to be able to view the film in Melbourne. And then the film's off to Italy at the end of April to the Torino Gamers and Film Festival in Italy. So we just got into that last week. So.
Wow. Yeah. Are you excited? Are you going with the film?
I don't think so, because I don't have any money to go anywhere.
Oh, no.
I barely have enough money to get on the train.
Know the feeling.
So I'm just going to send the file off and maybe someone will take a photo or something. But we'll see. I'm hoping for a festival in San Francisco mid-year, and I'd already went when I got into a festival with my last feature, and I really loved the city, so I thought it'd be good to go. It'd be a good excuse to go back there. So if I do go, it'd be probably San Francisco.
Oh, which San Francisco festival is that?
It's just their big gay and lesbian film festival. I think it's the biggest one. I think it's like the biggest gay film festival maybe in the world. So.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Yeah. Wow, that's really ambitious. But I mean, hey, I think it'll do really, really well.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will translate fine. It seems like a world phenomenon. It's all what we go through, so can't go wrong.
I'm getting a lot of messages from all different countries asking, people from different countries asking, how can I get a copy of this film? And so I'm just really hoping a distributor gets it and gets to give it to all these people, because I probably couldn't do it on my own. It's just such a big job, and you know, I don't want. I feel like I'm taking away from people by not having it there for them, as opposed to giving, which is what I want to do. Is just be able to let them view the movie, and yeah.
Well, I hope you get to go on, does a circuit of more festivals. I know there are several out there, of course, but probably not as many that are LGBTIQ, but certainly yeah. I hope it gets to most of them. It would be really wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, there's about 100 or so, so I mean, but we'll see how it goes. I think it's just started anyway, for queer films, the circuit, so we're at the start of it anyway. And Melbourne Festival was definitely a great beginning, and it was my goal to world premiere the film at Melbourne, so I'm just
It
all worked out. They're kind enough to take it.
That's lovely. That's a fantastic story too. Now yeah. Lee, I can cut the next question out, not a okay. problem, but I was going to ask you, are you gay?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I just assumed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah,
I will. Just so I can say to people on air, this is a gay filmmaker, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Because it does inspire people to go, hey, you know, if they can do it, maybe I can think about my own stories and put them on a film and
well, that's
stuff
partly,
like that.
It's partly why I wanted to make films in Australia and just to show people, like, hey, you know, you can, if you work hard enough, make a good Australian film and get it out there and maybe get a distribution and so I just wanted the process to seem tangible to young filmmakers.
Well, congratulations, it's superb, really. It's breath of fresh air, as they say.
I really like to keep going and doing more, telling more stories, and it's making good Australian films that people are wanting to go and take the time to see, because that's what I feel there's not enough of.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's not enough good ones anyway. I mean, well written.
Yeah.
They've taken 15 years to make. Some of them look like they've been taken 5 months to make. Do you know what I mean? Beginning to end, and that does concern me. What the heck is going on there, really?
Well, I spent about three years in production and then 3 to 4 sometimes. So, and I think that you need that time to let the film breathe and the script to breathe and the timing and editing and everything. It's all timing.
I'm also looking very much forward to your future project. If you do a horror movie, will it be a slasher, or got any clues?
I think telling people, like, it's a little cross between Paranormal Activities, even though there's nothing paranormal about it, and a little bit like Saw.
Okay.
So it's kind of a merge between them, and a little bit of Scream. So
okay.
There's a little bit of like thing, but it's interesting. But mostly it was set in two homes and stuff, so it's very simple. But and I didn't want to do gore or anything like, you know, ghosts or anything. But I do play with the audience's minds a lot and get them thinking. So,
Okay. And so when do you envision this to be complete?
Who knows? I was half thinking, like, let's just shoot at the end of the year and just have fun with it. But I think there's so much going on with Monster Pines, we'll have to wait
until
maybe early next year. But I haven't even started writing the script. I was supposed to start like 2 weeks ago, and I was just being so flat out interviews and articles. But definitely, it is something I'm looking forward to make, because I love scaring friends in general, just like as a joke. And I think if I can just put all these little scares in the movie, it can really
creep people out. Oh, sounds great.
Yeah. So I just want to. I just want to make people basically laugh because they got scared so much.
Laugh till they wet themselves, or be frightened till they wet themselves. That's always fun.
Yeah, but without doing it with like blood or gore and not having all these killings, and I just no real violence or anything. So
More of a jump out of your seat type of thing. Cool.
I think the good horror films, I think, are good, are the ones where the fear that comes is from yourself. you know, you create the fear that you think, you know, instead of the film telling you, okay, the music's going to go here, so it's, you've got to be scared at this moment, you know, so, yeah.
Oh, sounds intriguing. Good one. Now, we're looking at our favourite bad boys and bad girls villains in genre films. Do you have a favourite villain?
Oh, God.
I've put you in the spot now.
Yeah. Favourite villain? I kind of like Alex from Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
He's kind of a villain. Like, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, definitely.
So, I always liked Clockwork Orange when I was growing up, and it was like... Yeah,
it's an incredible film. Most of Kubrick's are, of course. You mentioned The Shining, of course. I mean, I still think it's probably, after Misery, the best adaptation of a Stephen King ever.
I started watching that doco about the...
Oh, Room 236?
Yeah.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's quite bizarre.
It is. A lot of the things I was like, oh my God, yes.
It's really
oh my
funny.
God. Like, how did I never see it?
Oh, conspiracies.
Yeah. But Kubrick has definitely been, when I was young, really, like when I think from 15 or something, Kubrick was a huge inspiration. And I mean, he was at that time where cinema was just, it was about, you know, getting that right shot and the right angle, and it wasn't about like, let's shake this camera around and let's do this and we'll go into here, and that's what inspired me to want to make films.
So. Yeah, I mean, he makes horror films look so exquisitely beautiful, and you know, they just look so damn good. It's like, oh, I could sit there and watch A Clockwork Orange over and over again.
Yeah,
of course. But it's funny you should pick that one, because that's one of my picks as well. I've picked Alex. And from Clockwork Orange, I've also picked HAL 9000, also from a Kubrick film.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
And Frankenfurter.
Oh, yeah.
Just to throw the queer stuff in there. But yeah. All right, look, Lee, I better let you go. You've probably got a lot of stuff you need to do for Monster Pies, which is, again, it's coming out on its... It's will premiere this Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Coming out in
Acme?
Inverted collars.
Coming out. So all the cast will be there, and yourself and crew?
Some of the cast, and I'll be there. I'm pretty much, I am the crew now. I'm joking. But there'll be a few people there,
Oh, excellent. All right, well, I'm sure it's going to be fantastic, and I really hope that, according to what I saw online, they are selling fast, so that's good.
Yeah.
Tickets, that's very good.
Yeah, that's amazing. So. If you're not there, just come to any screening, and it'll look great on the big screen. I promise.
Well, thank you for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Scream. Lee Galea, the Australian director, writer, and producer of Monster Pies.
Yes.
Thank you so much for talking to us tonight on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Are you afraid of the dark? You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.